Who benefits from national and global insecurity and turmoil? That would be the globalist.
But imagine this is coming. The system is being set up, the system of the beast. This is all part of it. These are warnings from God for what is coming. And all of a sudden people are going to be in and say, somebody should have told me. This book tells us. It tells us the end from the beginning. And let me tell you, we're looking at the beginning of the end right now, and everything is being set up.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Three guests join us this hour, Tom Hughes, Todd Hampson, and Jeff Kinley. The word for the week is convergence. Things are all coming together. Here is today's programming.
Glad you can join me today on Understanding the Times Radio, and what a time to be discerning the times. What would normally take a year or more to play out now happens, quite frankly, in just a few days. And because this is an election year in America, the whole world is watching. No group is watching America more closely than the one worlders, the globalists. There's arch globalist Yuval Noah Harari commenting about our forthcoming election, and I think I want to play that clip, and then I'm going to come back and make a few comments about it.
Are you concerned that Trump might be elected again shortly?
I think it's very likely. And if it happens, it is likely to be the kind of like the death blow to what remains of the global order. And he says it openly. Now, again, it should be clear that many of these politicians, they present a false dichotomy, a false binary vision of the world, as if you have to choose between patriotism and globalism, between being loyal to your nation and being loyal to some kind of global government or whatever.
So Yuval Noah Harari commenting on our forthcoming election and the fact that, well, the globalists are watching big time. So what I'm seeing, two kinds of responses going on. I think both are a bit extreme. And one of the responses would say that one candidate, Donald Trump, is the Antichrist. After all, he just survived a head wound. I can't make this up, folks. And the Bible says that a future global leader will do exactly that. Now, others are more like the New Apostolic Reformation and believe that a new president, such as a Donald Trump, will lead the world into a time of near perfection. And this is not the biblical millennium that would actually be more accurate. No, because they believe that the church will almost perfect the world and allow Jesus to return, but that you and I might have a role in all that. Others are putting intense trust in presidential candidates as nearly a savior. That we need to be careful of that. There's only one savior, and that would be the Lord Jesus Christ. What I've asked my guest for the first part of the program to do today is join me in having a short discussion of all this. And joining me now is Tom Hughes. And many of you watch his online updates and see him on his channel, Christian TV. He was our Understanding the Times in-person guest about a year, year and a half ago. And Tom Hughes, you as a Californian, we brought you here to Minnesota in the bitter cold, and you held up well.
Seems each time I show up there, it's snowing. I'm thinking if I showed up in July, it would probably start snowing.
You're right. We have 1 month of summer, and that's August. You did really well, and you heard me here set the stage for our discussion, and the fact that Noah Harari is saying, bluntly, hey, Donald Trump's going to interrupt our global agenda. Give me your thoughts.
He will. Trump is not your typical politician, and he's a trouble for the globalists because he doesn't enter into their same games. He doesn't play along with their same clubs. That sort of thing. He doesn't just go along with these things. He's not part of the young global leaders. So he comes with a different mindset. And one of the things he does is the same fear he brings among other foreign leaders like Xi Jinping, Putin, no matter what the media was saying about Putin and Trump, we know it was a lie. The same thing with the guys over in Iran and for what's his name in North Korea too. He's very problematic because they know that he has the ability in his mind to actually carry forth with the threats that he has. So if he says, hey, I'm not going to play along with this plan, or I will destroy you if you touch one American, they know his threats are very real. And when it comes to the globalism, he pulled us out of the Paris Climate Accords. Yep. He pushed back against all of the nonsense that was going on out there. Some people said he didn't do enough, but regardless, he is a threat to the global system. no matter who, if it's not Trump that becomes the president of the United States, then we will have a leader that will plunge America into this global system. Yeah.
Now, I watched your rather brief interview of Alex Newman. Wonderful job. I thoroughly enjoyed that time you had with him. And he feels that the assassination attempt was a deep state effort and a deep state tied to global government. And if true, I mean, if this lone lunatic was not a lone lunatic, but rather some sort of effort by the globalists, we are further down the pathway of a global government system than I thought. And I know it's speculation, but give me your 2 cents.
Well, I tend to agree. I look at it from the beginning when it first happened. I was actually out of the country, and then I was trying to catch up on all of the news, but I believe it was intentional. Listen, people can call me crazy, but I don't believe that it was just some lone gunman who took out JFK. I believe there was a plan behind it. When you look back at the CIA, I think I mentioned it on the program with Alex Newman, the CIA was involved with Charles Manson, and most people mm-hmm. don't know that. You start looking at these things and you go, look, these things are much deeper. These are very evil people that are leading at the top of these organizations and tops of these governments, the government organizations. All we have to do is look at World Health Organization, look at the CDC, look at the World Economic Forum, you look at the UN. And what on earth would make anybody think these people have our best intentions just because they put the term world or globe in it? And then they say, you can trust us with your peace and safety. No, we've seen what they have done, and we hear some of the things that they still plan to do. And no matter what Yuval Noah Harari said in that clip that you played, we know it's true. You will not have nationalism and globalism at the same time.
Right.
You can't have it. The Roman government understood that. The Babylonians at the time of Nebuchadnezzar understood it. The Assyrians understood it. All of these leaders that have a global plan or a dominating plan, Napoleon understood it. Hitler understood it. You cannot have it. So they will not allow it because they have their own plan. You know, they plan on instituting the digital currency. Trump is a huge problem for them. And I'm not saying Trump is Jesus. I'm not saying Trump is the answer to all things, but he is the person that is a threat to the globalists right now.
You can follow the updates that Tom Hughes produces many times a week. Find them on its website, hopeforourtimes.com, hopeforourtimes.com. They are posted to YouTube when they aren't censored, as ours are often. Tom, here's a blunt question. And you and I talked a little bit about this off air, and I actually wrote about it in my e-newsletter. Do you think that we have time to make America great again? As we look at the eschatological clock, it's clearly 30 seconds to midnight already. Now, I guess the Lord could park it right there for 4 or 5 years and things turn around, but give me your perspective.
Barring accepting a miracle from God, it's not going to be possible. Everything has just been too contaminated, too infiltrated. It's been going on for years. We look at what's going on in school districts across the country, not just California. California is not the only insane place in this country anymore. We look at school districts. We look at politics. We look at courtrooms. We look at the very top of the nation. We look at the media. And then you look at the military. The military have been infiltrated and been rebuilt with wokeism. It doesn't mean all people in the military are woke. I'm not saying that. I know a lot of young men and young women that have joined the military. We've prayed for them. They want to do what's right. But by and large, good generals have been removed. And you have these woke generals that are in there. We have one of the leaders of the nation that dresses up as a woman. You look at these things, you go, this is just insanity. So what we've done over the last 4 years is the good people in the military have quit because they wouldn't go along with the program. Well, they've been replaced, and I believe it was a plan. And if it wasn't an original plan, what happened was it worked in their favor because as good people have left those things, these bad people have come into those things to fill that place. So military has been transformed. We look at our borders. Our borders are a disaster. They will bring disaster on this country. Yeah. That's what portends for this country when you look at that. So let's say Trump does get elected. He can't flip the military overnight. He won't even be able to flip the military in 4 years. And when you look at the borders, he could come in and shut the borders. The problem is we now have millions of people, and I don't mean millions of just illegals that have come from Mexico that are Mexican. I'm talking about the people who came in with them that are known terrorists, that are Chinese nationals, that are Somalis that are in all different areas of this country. Jan, there's a camp that is only about 10 miles from my house. I live up near the mountains. Yes, and it is Chinese nationals. The way I know this is because I have a friend who hunts out there, and he brought it to the attention of the sheriff out here, and the sheriff out here happens to be one of the best sheriffs in the entire nation, Chad Bianco. So he's promised to go in there. He'll do whatever he can to eliminate this problem. But that's a camp that's right out here full of Chinese nationals. How many vacant areas are there across the U.S.? How many big cities have these types of things going on? And we already know with Islamic terrorism, what we see happening in France, what we see happening right now in London, what we see happening in Dearborn, Michigan. Trump can get in, but in order to flip this country and make it great again, I personally don't believe, Jan, it's possible in our lifetime, accepting a miracle from God. And again, just giving the time frame of it, how much longer is the Lord going to wait? Because we still have all the sin issues that God promises he will judge.
Say, just a quick announcement here, because folks, we're just off of our one night Understanding the Times meeting most recently here with Michelle Bachman, and we're going to offer a DVD of that event. Give us 3-4 days to get that ready, which you can find then in our online store, olivetreeviews.org, or give my office a call. You can watch it at no cost on our website, under video, on our Rumble channel, on our YouTube channel, assuming it's not ripped down. The theme of the evening was, is a shadow government leading to world government? Tom and I are talking a little bit about that, nuances of that. Anyway, again, no cost to watch this online. $10 for the DVD if you'd like to get that. No shipping charge at all, but give us until the first of next week to finish that presentation, which we had here just in the last couple of days. Talking to Tom Hughes, we carry his book in my store, Marking the Masses, Marking the Masses. Country singer John Rich recently ignited an online discussion, and I have heard from a lot of Olive Tree people because of some of the confusion. It was an interview he had. Tucker Carlson was interviewing him. John Rich is clearly a believer, and in the interview he gave, I think, a good gospel message, but he said a lot right. And by the way, he has a very hit song, in my understanding. It's called Revelation. He's a country singer, so I don't follow that genre, but I have heard that song. It's quite powerful. It's about the Lord's return. And Tom, I just want to play a 5-minute clip from the Tucker Carlson, John Rich interview, which was fairly recent. And then I want to come back and have you and I unpack it for just a few minutes, because I can tell you people are confused.
You said a minute ago that history will end, time will end, Jesus will return. You don't know when.
It says we don't know exactly when.
Okay, so can you, I get at least once a day someone coming by my house and leaving me something about the end times, which I appreciate, of course. And I'm actually serious.
Sure, sure.
Every single day. And that's great. And I met a lot of the people and I couldn't be nicer. But in some of the stuff that they leave, which I read, actually, there's a sense that we can predict through numerology, for example, like the day this is, history's ending.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying we can't.
No, the Bible says we can't. I'm not saying anything. The Bible says no man knows the time nor the hour when Jesus will return. And that's correct. Nobody knows. Can I back up 200 years with you real quick?
Do.
I know you love history.
Yes.
200 years ago, basically, in 1830, a very wealthy, very charismatic preacher named John Darby, D-A-R-B-Y, came with this doctrine that's now referred to as the secret rapture or the pre-tribulation rapture. And that message took off. Why wouldn't it? Who doesn't want to hear that we'll all be out of here before anything bad happens? That's a great message. That'll pack the pews right there. I love it. And it allowed them to say, for all we know, the rapture could happen before this church service ends right now, so you better move. And I guess to that end, it had a great effect. A lot of people got saved over that. A few decades after that, a guy named C.I. Schofield. Have you ever heard of a Schofield Bible?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So C.I. Schofield was basically a student of John Darby, and he adopted that part of the doctrine, and he incorporated that into the Bible. It was the first Bible ever made that had study notes with it. We have all kinds of Bibles now that have concordances and study notes and all kinds of stuff that go along, but this was the first one that was ever made. It became so popular, every Christian was reading it, every minister was reading it, and this continues today to this exact second. My own dad, when he went in seminary and was wanting to become a minister, they said, make sure you have a Schofield Bible now when you come to class. Have your Schofield Bible. Schofield Bible also adopted that entire John Darby philosophy of Christians will not be here when the bad stuff starts to happen. And most Christians still believe that. Matter of fact, a lot of my friends that are Christians are going to watch this interview are probably right now going, hang on a minute. Now, hang on. So this is pushing back against a doctrine that's been in existence now for coming upon 200 years. The problem with that doctrine is there's several places in the Bible where it talks about what's going to happen prior to Jesus Christ coming back to the earth. When he does come back, that is when what we call the rapture happens. The word rapture is nowhere in the Bible. It talks about us being caught up with him and pulled out of here, and then the ultimate wrath is poured out on this planet. That's what we call the rapture. So that's not in debate. The question is, what happens leading up to that? It's a good question to ask, right? For some reason, nobody ever preaches that. They don't want to talk about what all happens prior to it. So can I just read if we have time? That's why I love the thought of this interview.
I do too. But just to be clear, what you're saying is the Scofield Bible, its theology is deceptive.
I'm saying that the same way the media takes a factual situation and twists it and gives you a version of it, which we all know we're force-fed every single day, the same exact tactic was used in 1830 by John Darby. And guess who he was connected to, by the way? The Rothschilds.
Interesting.
Yeah, he was connected to the Rothschilds family back in the day. That he did the same exact tactic and twisted that. I don't know why he did that. It worked because it took off. And I mean, there were churches popping up everywhere right after that. I'm saying that, including me, including my own father, for a long time, that's what we believe too. But when you start actually going back and reading line by line by line what is said that will be leading up to Jesus coming back, which is when the rapture happens, it's the inverse of what John Darby put down.
I didn't know that, but somehow I'm not surprised even a little bit.
Yeah.
But my sense was the Scofield stuff, which has had massive implications for our foreign policy, for example, and in our domestic politics, was probably a lie. Seems like a lie to me, but I don't really know because
I don't think all of it was a lie. I think this particular subject was.
I do know that that translation or that commentary on the Bible has had massive effects on our politics that have been very, very negative and resulted in the deaths of a lot of people. So I do know that for a fact, but I don't know much about the theology.
Yeah, I think people are watching what's happening in our country and around the world, and they're becoming more and more fearful of it, even to the point of dread. A lot of people are just consumed by what is happening.
That's right.
And they want answers. They want a truthful answer. Will somebody please tell me the truth? And the truth about that is the only ultimate truth is not me, and it's not you, and it's not any politician or anybody on TV. It's what the book says. Now, if you're watching this and you go, I'm an atheist and whatever, that doesn't matter. That's fine. But if you're watching this, you're going to hear it anyway, because it is the truth, and the truth has a way of penetrating.
Tom Hughes, I did not know that John Nelson Darby had such influence. He even is influencing our foreign policy. I need your perspective on this.
There's a lot of books that are out there. There's all kinds of things on YouTube, and we know the rapture has been attacked for decades. John Darby did not invent the rapture or the theology of the rapture, or I should say the doctrine of the rapture. The Apostle Paul talked about it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It is in the Bible. And what's interesting about foreign policy affecting it, so the story goes that Theodore Herzl and the Rothschilds, they approached the Pope at that time. And they wanted some kind of Bible that was written in order to give the Jews the land of Palestine. The Pope rejected them. So what they needed was a non-Jew Protestant preacher. And at that time, it came out to be Scofield. So the story goes, they talked to Scofield. They funded the Scofield Bible. And the whole purpose was to make sure that the Jews got the land of Palestine. And these are the types of things that are out there. But I'd like to hear how John Rich makes the direct connection with Darby and Rothschild himself, but online you can find all these different connections that are made. Listen, the other thing that's very discouraging in the interview is basically what was implied was if you believe in the rapture, you're going to suffer the delusion of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where God will send a strong delusion that you'll believe the lie. Listen, I watched the entire interview. I really believe that John Rich believes what he says. The gospel was getting out, which I thought was wonderful.
Right.
And John, he seems like a very committed believer, but the rapture is under attack. And this concept that we are deceiving people if we teach such thing as the rapture. And when he said the rapture wasn't in the Bible, he also said the word Antichrist wasn't in the Bible. Well, the word Antichrist is in the Bible four different times. In First John, he actually refers to the Antichrist, and then he talks about the spirit of Antichrist, for example. But these are in the Bible. The rapture itself is not in the English Bible. It comes from the Greek word harpazo.
Yeah.
In the Latin, it's raptura or rapire, and that gets translated in English rapture. But the Bible is very clear where Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians, we who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And in that interview also, John Rich said, it's a secret rapture. I'm sorry, that's just nonsense. It's not a secret. For one thing, it's the shout. There's a loud trumpet that is sound, but also it's not secret. It is in the Bible. You don't have to dig up things. And if somebody will take the Bible literally, then they would understand it's there. The problem is when you come to a passage like 1 Thessalonians, if you start with the premise that the rapture is not in the Bible, then you have to make everything fit that. Hence, you have to come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and say to yourself, well, it must mean something else. Well, it doesn't actually mean what it says. It's interesting, throughout the interview, John Rich says, I'm just telling you what it says, and he'd read the passage. But when it comes to something like that, you ignore the literal teaching of what the Bible says. And even as someone continues through 1 Thessalonians, you get into chapter 5, if there's no chapter break there, it even makes more sense, where Paul says, I shouldn't even have to tell you these things. But when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them, and they shall not escape. So clearly, he has two different groups of people Paul's writing about. Those who are caught up or raptured to meet the Lord in the air, and they who are left behind, whose sudden destruction comes upon them, and then you go into the tribulation period, God's wrath. The interview was interesting. I'd like to have John Rich on my program sometime. I wish he would have interviewed with somebody other than Tucker Carlson, who just said, you know, I don't understand these things. This is the first I ever heard of it. Have a conversation with somebody who does teach these things.
Yes.
But it's out there, and it gives us an opportunity to talk about it. And also, what's interesting, he has the new song out. I'm looking forward to listening to it. But he talks about the book of Revelation being literal, which is kind of nice, because a lot of the people in pastors and churches, they will not take the book of Revelation as being literal, as we know. But he actually takes it literally. So he says, these things will come, but there won't be a rapture.
The song Revelation is on YouTube, folks. You can find it under John Rich. It's a very powerful video. Tom Hughes, the other thing is, again, implied here is that the theology, John Nelson Darby certainly made it much more popular 200 years ago, but there's a suggestion that this is dangerous to believe this way because we think we're going to be taken out of the earth at that time. And of course, according to the naysayers, we're not. And therefore, it's dangerous that we're teaching this. Problem is, we're teaching it as it is because the Bible calls it our blessed hope. And we have the privilege of looking at it as though we're going to be spared from the wrath to come. The Bible says so.
Absolutely. And Jesus himself even says, when he's talking about this, pray that you may escape all of these things.
Right.
Revelation chapter 3, I will save you from the hour of trial that's coming on the whole earth. So there is a whole earth tribulation that's coming, God's wrath. God says, I'll save you from these things. So if you're going to rightly teach the word, yes, you want to tell the world these things. And the other implication is, he talked about China. There's people suffering in China right now and suffering in Muslim worlds that are Christian. Well, you don't equate that to the wrath of the tribulation period. So in that, the implication was Americans have to suffer too. Well, suffering and persecution are not the same thing as the wrath that is coming. And we could go through some difficult things before the rapture, but the Bible clearly teaches that there's rapture before the wrath of God comes on this planet, before the tribulation begins. I also believe he had a misinterpretation in there, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where he believes that we will all see the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we're going to be raptured before the Antichrist will be exposed to the world. And something else interesting, he sounded like he believes these things are extremely close, which I think you and I would agree
yes.
with. So he was so right on so many things, and the gospel got out there, but unfortunately, he doesn't believe the rapture, and therefore he was attacking that doctrine and anybody who believes in it or who teaches it. If a person teaches it, they are leading people into deception, and they're part of the deceit of the last days.
And the problem is, Tom, it's online. It's been viewed at least a couple million times. That's a potential for a couple million very confused people who are going to turn around and laugh at what you and I believe, even though what we believe is so very biblical.
And they will. And the mocking will increase. Yes. I guess we know that. 2 Peter chapter 3, in the last days, scoffers will come, walking according to their own lust, saying, where's the promise of his coming? Our fathers used to tell us this, which is interesting because John Rich brought up, you know, my dad and I used to believe this.
That's right.
And here in 2 Peter, our fathers used to teach these things. And the scoffers are there. The scoffing will increase, and we know it will increase because the signs of the last days are likened to birth pains upon a pregnant woman. So these will increase. But I think for your audience, this is a really good conversation for us to have because we need to be strengthened in it. And it wasn't John Darby who invented it. The Apostle Paul wrote about it. The early church fathers, Eusebius, Irenaeus, they also wrote about it. They didn't call it the rapture, but they taught on this catching up that was going to take place. Early church fathers did. It was not new to Darby. What Darby did, he had a literal reading of the Bible. When he was reading it, he realized, hey, God has a different plan with Israel than he does for the church. And recognizing that, you have the 70th week of Daniel. God is very clear. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, 70 weeks are determined or settled for your people, for your holy city. That's for the Jews and Jerusalem. The final seven-year period for the Jews, and the plan for the church is different. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come, and then all Israel will be safe. So you have these dynamics that are going on. And John Rich, he's a musician, he's not a theologian, and I praise God that the gospel got out.
I've heard from tons of people who are questioning it and who are concerned about it, at the same time happy that some truth got out as well. Folks, you can stay in touch with Tom Hughes through hopeforourtimes.com. Again, we have his book in our online store, Marking the Masses. Tom, I appreciate so much all you do, and thank you for weighing in here to the couple of topics that we had for this segment of the program. Folks, when I come back, I will be joined by Jeff Kinley and Todd Hampson, so stay with us more in just a moment or two.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. In this age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Olive Tree Ministries and Understanding the Times Radio. Thank you for your loyal and generous support for Understanding the Times Radio, now in its 23rd year. Your prayer and financial support allow the good news of the gospel to be spread around the world, allows us to better encourage one another, and reminds many that time is running out. You can also keep up to date and on top of today's headlines on our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. We post dozens of articles, offer an online store, both print and e-newsletters, a prayer wall, many years of radio programming, and all of our video presentations. You can also learn about our mobile app on our homepage. We can look around and get distressed, or we can look up and know that the King is coming again, perhaps today, and we want you to be excited about it.
Satan is launching a last days offensive against decency, against morality, obviously against the church. He has influence, obviously, in the pulpits, telling pastors, oh, you don't want to preach on that. That'll be unpopular. Yeah. And so we're in a spiritual war, Jan. I mean, people forget that. We think we're at peace because we don't see bullets and bombs and blood. But guess what? The spiritual battle continues here in these last days.
We know you can't always be by a radio. So if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. And then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, on all of our social media, and on his channel, Christian TV. Now, here is Jan Markell to wrap up today's programming.
And welcome back. And say, because of the incredible convergence of events happening now, I thought I would share an interview I gave to both Jeff Kinley and Todd Hampson on their Prophecy Pros podcast. This is a few weeks ago now, and they are reviewing the lead article in my summer print magazine titled Why We're Running Out of Time, and the events of the last few months and even years as it concerns America's instability, something that intensified with the attempted Trump assassination, the obvious weakness in our highest leaders in Washington, even the coronation of Kamala Harris, only show me that an end-time agenda is absolutely now on overdrive. This is not going to settle down. I cannot believe that there is some kind of normal that we're going to return to. There's instability everywhere in the world as last day's markers. Everything continues to fall into place. So I'm hoping that believers are trying even more earnestly to get people into the ark of salvation, before indeed time does run out. Going now to the short interview I had with Jeff Kinley and Todd Hampson. Again, this is a few weeks ago.
Matter of fact, we'll start there. That's her number one in this article. It's Israel is alone. Jan, explain that a little bit. What you mean? We all know that eyes have been on Israel. We did a whole season last season on Israel. But I love how you encapsulated what's going on with those simple three words. Israel is alone.
Well, what I tried to do, Jeff and Todd, is take 10 points that remind everyone, starting with me, that, as I think I titled the article, we're running out of time. Time is winding down so fast. And I mean, the Lord is gracious enough to send us markers along the way that can remind us what in the world is going on, and take a look at it. And once you analyze it biblically, you're reminded that God has an outline in the Bible, which no other faith has. Buddha doesn't have it. Islam doesn't have it. But the God of the Bible has a complete outline for things to come. And so based on that, I just took 10 observations for right now today that remind us that we are running out of time. And I think the first and foremost, and even The Economist magazine had a front cover story. This was probably, it could have been a month ago now, even 6 weeks ago. Israel alone with an Israeli flag blowing somewhere in an Israeli desert. Just a forlorn looking picture. And yet it still said a lot that Israel has been dumped by almost every country in the world as far as a partner, as far as an ally. The rest of the world, including America, is embarrassed by Israel, and thus she's standing alone. I'm sure both of you have made the same observation.
Yeah, it's been amazing to see how America in particular, who traditionally has been her ally through thick and thin, even with some bumps in the road. But lately, where literally America, the choices that our leadership is making is literally abandoning Israel, but at the same time claiming to support Israel, funding both sides of the war. I mean, it's schizophrenic and it's
evil. That's exactly right.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a partial fulfillment of Zechariah 12, where she is abandoned. Now, that's going to happen much more so down the road, but we're seeing an early fulfillment of that. And I think if we were to really put our minds to it today, well, there'll probably be a few more minor nations that are remaining really loyal to her, but they're probably inconsequential. But imagine how Israel's feeling right now. I can't, quite frankly.
Yeah, it is. It's mind-blowing. If you take any other nation on the planet that was attacked so brutally and so barbarically and with such incredible depravity that is really inappropriate to even talk about in public, any other nation in the world would have the entire global community coming at their aid. And yet here we are being the greatest ally of Israel, and we are actually defending the hatred on campuses across our nation. And Jan, it almost feels like you're waking up in an alternate reality at times where you're going, is this really happening? Are we really promoting this? Are we defending this? Or
Are we in our administration? Are we allowing this to take place and then making threats against Israel to not help her in her defense against herself? And then the, you know, International Criminal Court calling for Netanyahu to be prosecuted for war crimes. I mean, it's like black is white, white is dark is light. It's Isaiah 5:20, calling evil good and good evil.
Welcome to the last days. That's the alternate reality, is we're in the last days. Yeah.
And it does speak just real quickly to the amount of last days deception that we would anticipate our enemy to launch in the last days. He's got to get people under a deception, under a delusion, so that they can receive what is false. And that's exactly, as you said, ramping up. We're ramping up to that 2 Thessalonians 2, where ultimately God will send the delusion himself. But certainly we're seeing it. And who are the voices that are going to stand up and say what is true and right and biblical? It's only Bible-believing Christians, those who really understand Bible prophecy.
And when we're gone, it'll be a mess. No truth tellers.
That's right.
That's right. The restrainer will be out of here. Yeah, it's all the more important for us to remember we're salt and light. We're holding back a lot of evil. We may feel like lone voices, but we've got to stand tall and we've got to stand strong. Jan, one thing I notice as I look over this list is really, honestly, and hopefully we'll have time to at least mention all 10 of them, if not a few of them, but all of them, there's a few of them that were mildly in play 10 or 20 years ago. Mm. But many of these are new things and definitely on a new level. For example, one of them, number 4 that you have here, is you titled it, "The World is Leaderless." The world is leaderless. Talk about that for a moment, if you would.
Well, I think the world is used to America being the powerhouse, the primary leader of the whole globe. And obviously, because of a certain election, that America fell off the chart. I mean, right now we're inconsequential and the world knows it. And, you know, tragically, gentlemen, there's a very dark side to that. Thousands and maybe millions, who knows, of people have died, particularly in a couple of conflicts, not the least of which is Ukraine. Vladimir Putin would not have launched that attack had America been really strong. He would have known that the free world led by America would have pushed him back and not allowed that to happen. But he knew nothing was going to happen. And thus, very innocent people have died. They've died, obviously, in the Israel-Gaza Hezbollah. And that's about to broaden. I think we all know that that's going to get more complicated. First of all, Israel's going to have to go into Lebanon. And already people have died, and more are going to die. So this is the very tragic side of the world lacking a leader. I think the intriguing side is those same people who have always looked at America and relied on America as being the leader, now they've stepped back and they've kind of said, well, I guess we'll have to take whoever comes along because America's checked out. Well, we know who's coming along, and hopefully believers will be gone, though who knows, maybe we'll see a run-up. Maybe we'll see someone anointed a leader in Europe, a head of an EU or something. But, you know, we don't know. We just know that there's coming a leader, a very charismatic man with a plan who will, I call him Mr. Fix-It. He's waiting in the wings.
Yeah. And in light of that, Jen, you talk about the fact that we're in a rush to a global government because the calls for a global governance system that really began ramping up during COVID, because guess what? We have this common enemy out there called the virus. And so we all have to come together and be one neighborhood. So talk about how this coming election, because all elections obviously are important, but regardless of the outcome of the election, how does this global government play into what happens in America during the election? How's this going to, is there going to be impedance possibly? Is there going to be an obstacle in the way if somebody wins? And if someone doesn't win, is there going to be more of a free flow and an acceptance of this coming global government?
I just did an interview this morning talking a little bit about the World Health Organization. Now, you hear that term and people say, well, big deal. Who cares about the World Health Organization? But I think we need to care about the World Health Organization because they are trying to unite the world, so to speak, under health concerns. And they've made some accomplishments. And I think we need to keep our eyes on called WHO. The leader right now is a former arch terrorist, Tedros Ghebreyesus. Donald Trump pulled America out of WHO in 2020. Mr. Biden went right back in. And the World Health Organization is trying to unite the world under, let's just call it, pandemic health. And after COVID, who isn't going to listen with some interest to anybody who's going to talk about protecting everyone's health, as WHO will come forth and do? But just keep in mind, your audience, keep in mind that ultimately, the World Health Organization wants to be a sort of a leader of the whole world, in essence, a second United Nations. And because of people's passion to stay well, I think they might allow the World Health Organization to do that. And again, America back in it for now. And again, this isn't necessarily an election appeal to elect a certain candidate, but if Donald Trump were to get in, he said he will pull out of that organization again, which I do think is the proper thing to do.
You know, and with that, Jan, just one quick comment. There tends to be, see if you agree with this or not, but in terms of the ramping up and the prophecies coming together, and one of them obviously is a global government, do you see sometimes an ebb and a flow in the degree of severity or proximity to certain prophecies coming into fruition? In other words, there's a time when things kind of slow down. There's a time when they ramp up. There's a time when they pause, this press pause button, because we don't know the timing of all of these prophecies. Do you see that as well? Sometimes there's proximity, there's acceleration, but then there's backing off and that type of thing.
I think I began trying to discern the times, certainly in the 1980s, and maybe you did too, Jeff. But as I was doing it back then, and let's just take a little mental chart and put the 1980s alongside of the 2020s. There is no comparison. I got to say, there's no comparison. There were some things going on back then, and that's only 35 to 40 years ago. It's not like it's a century ago.
Right.
We all know everything sped up in 1948. Slam dunk, no-brainer, sped up in 1948. I'm going to say something that may sound a little reckless here, and I don't mean it to at all, but I think fast forward came into gear only 4 years ago, again, with the pandemic. And I say that because people's mindset was different when that began. They began to be fearful. They began to look to government to protect them. The mentality was, Washington will protect me, or London will protect me, as it concerns health concerns again, but more specifically, the COVID pandemic. People were genuinely scared. And I'm not sure if they were all that scared 40 years ago and 30 years ago and 20 years ago. But when it comes to their loved ones dying, which happened for several years, still it's happening, but not at the rate it was 4 years ago, they started to listen, and I believe they started to look to government, and they began to trust government. Whoever thought intelligent people would trust government? Well, it was a brilliant plan, and it worked.
Peace and safety.
Peace and safety, constant cries for that. And then you couple that with the fact that every notable survey or set of statistics keeps showing that as the younger and younger generations are less and less biblically literate, they have a shakier worldview, or less and less of a biblical worldview. So it's that, again, is setting the stage for it. In other words, the enemy sees that he's got his moment, could be soon. So it's almost like he's tipping his hand a little bit, and he's rushing forward, and he's accelerating these evil things.
Absolutely. I think the key here is acceleration. And I'm sure that's what you gentlemen note as well. Everything is on overdrive. Everything is in a hurry now. We don't take our time for anything.
If you just join me, I am playing an interview that I gave to Todd Hampson and Jeff Kinley, the Prophecy Pros. It's been a few weeks ago now, on the stage-setting signs that we're all watching, not just on a daily basis, these days on an hourly basis. So back to the interview.
And I think the question that we need to ask, is there coming another health crisis, call it a pandemic, whatever you want to call it, bird flu, disease X, something that nobody's thought of yet, something that's being cooked up in a lab, is that on the horizon to kind of cement the deal that we are going to look to government for everything, starting with our safety? Why would they let the pendulum stop now? I don't think so.
That's key. That's key, because you think about, we know that the rapture will be
the ultimate crisis that will create the void, that will create the need for peace and for safety in the end. So it makes perfect sense that there has to be crises leading up to that to set the hook in, if you will, to society, to the global community. And, you know, as we saw with the pandemic, Jan and Todd, we saw a crisis which led to chaos, which led to fear. Yep. Obviously, there was the chaos of, oh, people are going to be stacked 10 deep in the streets and that kind of thing, which led to a calm, which government came in and said, oh, no, just shelter at home, wear a mask, do all these things. And, oh, by the way, and here's some stimulus money to keep you happy in the meantime. And then from that came compliance and people, oh, I guess this is the new normal, they said. And so you've got the chaos, the calm, the compliance, and ultimately the goal is control. And so that's where Satan, that's where Antichrist is headed. And as you said, through government being obviously more powerful, more influential, they have more tools at their disposal to make you do what they want you to do. That control, Jan, would you agree, is Satan's ultimate goal for planet Earth?
You know, my main prayer with that has been definitely it's fast forwarding things towards what we read in the tribulation. I personally don't see a full complete collapse of anything until the first set of seal judgments. My prayer has been that God flipped the script on the enemy, and rather than them viewing it as a success, that I pray that God used it to wake up a lot of believers to the times that we're in. Yeah. And that if something else like that comes across, there's going to be more people that will stand against it early on. I think we'll catch more flack. I think we'll catch more persecution. I think persecution's on the horizon if things keep heading in this direction. But hopefully one thing that that did was wake people up to the deception that is out there from the highest levels of world governments on down.
Yes. And again, it points to the importance of what's happening in November here in America and the fact that, you know, we got to have a change of course here pretty soon, or else we're just not going to turn anything around. And maybe that's okay. You know, maybe that's okay in the long run.
It's hard to say, as much as we know that's the truth and that God's sovereign and all this is going according to his plan. It's still really, really tough for people to see. Yeah. Including a few of these other ones you mentioned. We're definitely going out of order, but a couple more just to mention. There's a new level of calling evil good and good evil. We talked about that a little bit, Isaiah 5:20. You have one where you talk about artificial intelligence is being refined and definitely will be used in the mark of the beast. Absolutely no doubt about that. One other one that really jumps out to me that you wrote is that too many churches are majoring in minors and furthering unsound doctrine. Could you speak to that for a moment?
Well, I have just done a radio program. It's not the first time on something that really troubles me. And some of your listeners will know the term, the New Apostolic Reformation. And it's a form of extremism in the church that is really, really troubling. And I think it's troubling in that it's stealing young people from all over the world and getting them kind of hooked on experience in the church and signs and wonders and all of that. And that seems to be captivating a segment of the church today. It's very, very unsound. As a matter of fact, it's very dangerous. I've even featured on my radio program parents of a young woman who was almost kidnapped by this outfit in Redding, California, and what they did to brainwash her and convince her that her parents had abused her. Never happened. So I just see that growing. And we read, and we referenced it earlier, the suggestion that there's going to be end time deception and strong delusion. And this is what I see moving heavily into many, many, many churches. But there's other things. I keep hearing, I get emails, my pulpit is suddenly woke. Well, you can do a whole program. What does that mean? What is a woke pulpit? We don't have time to go into it, but that's happening all across America and Canada. It's a politically correct type of a pulpit all of a sudden. So these things are happening exponentially and right at a time where people in the pews need an explanation of what's happening in this world, clear and concise and to the point, and helping them to understand what on earth is happening and not majoring in minors and going off on these extremes. But again, all of this is predicted. They're going to listen to the doctrine of demons and there's going to be wolves among the flock. I just didn't think I'd see it this bad in my lifetime. And a lot of your listeners are saying amen. They're seeing it too.
That's true, Jan. And, you know, it's interesting just to hear you say that. My mind immediately makes this observation about how Jesus told his Jewish brethren that in Matthew 24, that while they're hiding in the wilderness, if they hear, oh, the Christ is out here in the wilderness, or he's hiding in a room, he says, do not believe them. It's not the real Christ. And yet right now, what we're seeing with the New Apostolic Reformation, they're saying, hey, God's over here. Come out, come over here and see him.
Yeah.
We found him. We found the true serum, the true formula. Yeah. Don't listen to them because it's not sound doctrine. It's not true teaching from the scriptures. It's a shiny object, if you will, but it's not God himself. And so we're experiencing in the church now, I think, some of that same spirit of deception that you talked about that the Jewish people are going to experience during the tribulation.
Exactly. First, the church gets it, and then Israel in the tribulation. Absolutely. I think, Jeff and Todd, what we're seeing in the church right now is very experience-driven, and that's never good, never good, because it needs to be Bible-driven, not experience. Yeah. But people are drawn to experience. It's, oh, my goodness, it gives you goosebumps, and there's supposedly gold dust coming down on us, and that's all experience and signs and wonders. But, folks, it's not Bible-driven.
Yeah. It really isn't. Like you said, it's experience-driven, and there's such a heavy emphasis on emotion and feeling, even if you can point to a crystal clear scripture that says the exact opposite, feelings and experience tend to trump biblical truth. And like you said, that is the most dangerous place to be in. And that coupled with the fact that the Bible talks about a great falling away, a great apostasy in the last days. So we're seeing the groundwork being laid for that right before our eyes.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that started probably in the 1940s and then just picked up a decade after decade after decade. You know, a whole two-hour program could be done on just what happened each decade, what new movement came in and swept church off their feet. And again, took the emphasis off of verse-by-verse, Bible-driven, again, became signs and experience-driven. Yeah.
Well, let's read one more, or actually two more, and I'll let you pick which one is more heavy on your heart at the moment. But the aberrant is celebrated as normal and is touted as the standard for the world. And then another one is the violence of the days of Noah is upon us. That's seven, and that's number 10. But the aberrant is celebrated, and we're seeing violence increase everywhere.
Well, again, when we have the trans people being celebrated and heralded, and then just jumping to the other, the lawlessness. Remember, I'm here in Minneapolis. I know lawlessness. I have a section of my beloved hometown that was burned to the ground in 2020 because of the George Floyd situation that happened in May of that year. And that part of Minneapolis will never come back, ever, ever, ever. Completely destroyed. But the point is, the violence and the lawlessness and the recklessness in spirit and action was something you had to see to believe. You cannot imagine. Now, we know it's happening in ancient capitals and distant lands, right? But to see it in your hometown, well, guess what, listeners? It may be coming to your hometown because the lawlessness is up like 5,000% in some places. So that is predicted for a last generation. And that alone should convince us that the spirit of Antichrist is just plain alive and well and poured out across the earth right now.
Absolutely. So true. It really is. And it's, again, Satan is launching a last days offensive against decency, against morality, obviously against the church. He has influence, obviously, in the pulpits, telling pastors, oh, you don't want to preach on that. That'll be unpopular and that type of thing. And so we're in a spiritual war, Jan. I mean, people forget that. We think we're at peace because we don't see bullets and bombs and blood. But guess what? The spiritual battle continues here in these last days. So kind of as we begin to kind of land the plane here a little bit, tell our listeners and our watchers right now, in light of this spiritual battle, what can the individual Christian do? How should this affect us in terms of how we view the world and the church? And then what can we do to help make a positive difference?
Well, the only thing that's going to change this scenario, I believe, is more people indeed come to faith, and then we all become salt and light and try to delay this decay. But I think, Jeff and Todd, the most important exhortation would be, let's go out and win the lost. We've talked here for several minutes, about chaos and about corruption and the World Health Organization and the Antichrist. We just need more truth tellers out there. But in order to do that, a whole lot more people need to get saved. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, that's an assignment every one of your listeners and mine can take seriously, take to the bank, so to speak, because that's why they're here. They're here to be salt and light and delay this decay. But first, we need to get saved. We need to get born again. And all who call the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved.
Again, my thanks to the Prophecy Pros, Jeff Kinley and Todd Hampson, for their excellent programming and for allowing me to be their guest. If you would like to receive either our print magazine or e-newsletter referenced in this interview, find the sign-up options on our website, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, and then go to newsletters, and both items are free. You know, I heard someone say recently that in light of our times, nothing makes sense. I disagree. All that is happening is lining up so that all things can fall into place. Remember, don't look around. Rather, look up. Our redemption draws nigh. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again next week. You are the love song
we'll sing forever. Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. We want to remind you that you have been born for such a time as this. You are here on assignment. We are to be salt and light and help delay the decay and remind people that all things predicted are falling into place.